John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The essence of that passage from John is captured in that sacred soundtrack song of the Father's love begotten. Ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega. He the source, the ending he, of all the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and evermore. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we are the recipients of your Father's love. We thank you that your Father's love begotten is what brought Jesus Christ into this world. In a couple of days, we will gather to celebrate again the birth of the Christ child. Lord, we pray that in that special way that only you can provide, the light of that Christ child will shine through us this season. Shine through us in such a way, and we receive it in such a way that you will count us and call us among those who are children of God. Help us this season to see and believe the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. Amen. So I don't know exactly what your particular expectations are on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, just before the height of the Christmas celebration peaks in a couple of days. We all have expectations. Some of those are similar, and some of those are very diverse. Some of you have come in already having celebrated your family Christmas times because of the family dynamics, and this weekend was the only time that worked for you. Some have yet to begin their shopping, so I don't know exactly what all of your expectations are. But I know that each time we gather for worship, whether it's just a couple of days before Christmas or each and every time we gather, we come as people who have different expectations, different wants, different needs, different hurts. Each one of us is a child of God, and each one of us looks at life just a little bit differently because each one of us are unique, and yet there are some similarities. I'm reminded of that when I thought about expectations in a coffee cart conversation that happened just a few weeks ago. I recounted this story in the sanctuary a couple of weeks ago. It turns out that that coffee cart that we've got out in the narthex, one day my wife was there, and some of you have heard this story. She was there, and a guy came up to her, and he said, "Now, which one is the decaf coffee?" And she said, "Well, it's this one that in bright orange letters says decaf." And he said, "Oh, good, good. That's the one I need." Last week, I made the mistake of pouring up a cup of regular coffee. I got to tell you, it kept me awake for the whole sermon. So I don't know if he knew that was my wife or not. And I'm not sure what his expectations were, and nor do I know for sure what yours are. But mine are that I might keep you awake for this whole message. And that we might focus a little bit more on that sacred soundtrack word that comes to us not only from the song, but the songs based on John chapter 1. If in your devotions this week you're looking for a good chapter to center on this week, I commend John chapter 1. You've heard some but not all of it today as LJ read it for us. It's a great parallel to Luke chapter 2. We'll be hearing Luke chapter 2 on Christmas Eve, and I would commend for you to take John 1 and Luke 2 and let those verses ring true to your hearts and souls this season. John chapter 1 illuminates for us what the Father's love begotten is all about. And there are three components of that Father's love that are portrayed in John chapter 1. You're going to hear these themes throughout. One is that in the darkness of our world, and for a moment I want you not to dwell, but to reflect on the darkness that might be surrounding you. We come with different forms of darkness. Some of those we share and others are unique depending on perhaps your job situation or your health condition or whatever it might be. But there is darkness that each and every one of us have experienced and maybe are experiencing right now. The promise of John chapter 1 is this: the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. A better translation of that from the original language is the darkness has not overcome it. You see, there may be darknesses in our world that we do not understand, may never understand. But the promise of God is whether we understand the darkness or not, God's light will overcome one day that darkness in our life. Furthermore, we celebrate, because of God's light, we celebrate that God desires for each and every one of us to be children of God. How appropriate that we had children singing for us today. They personify God's love in the young among us, but that God desires for each of us. God's word says this about being a child of God: all who received him, and remember in the verse preceding this, it says not everybody recognized him or received him, but to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's the right that God desires for each and every one of us, to be a child of God. At the next service, we're going to celebrate baptism. Just last week, we celebrated baptism. And oftentimes here at Good Shepherd, we celebrate baptism. Baptism is God's way of announcing to the world that we are children of God. God's word proclaims to each of us that his desire is that all of us become children of God. To all who receive him and believe in his name, we are children of God. And finally, we learn this about God becoming flesh, dwelling among us. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Think about that for a moment. The divine becoming human, dwelling among us. Among our favorite Christmas carols this year will be the word Emmanuel, which means literally God with us. God desires to be with us and to dwell in us. John's word proclaims that. Those are incarnation words. What is incarnation? That big word means God becoming flesh, becoming real, someone to be touched, someone to be experienced, someone who came to earth to be real with us, to make God's love real. So what does incarnation look like in your life? What is it that allows you to experience God's word made flesh? There's a family here at Good Shepherd who experienced incarnation in a very powerful way. This picture that you're about to see looks a lot more like incineration than incarnation. But it was incineration that allowed them to see incarnation. You see, this is a family who came to Good Shepherd because we had a good preschool. The mother was a former preschool director, and she had a checklist of things that would qualify a preschool good enough for her children to come. And Good Shepherd was one of those schools, preschools, that she could check every box. She did, however, know that Good Shepherd was also a Christian preschool. And so she made it very evident right from the beginning that although we were a preschool, the real reason that we were a Christian preschool, the real reason that she was here was because all the other criteria, expectations she had for this preschool had been met, and she wanted her kids in a really good preschool. Sometime after her kids had started preschool here at Good Shepherd, her husband's business had a big fire. It was a huge fire. It was a fire that nearly destroyed their business. And in those days that came right after that, it was the preschool staff, and it was the preschool families who came around that family and supported them and cared for them and allowed God's light to shine in their darkness, allowed that family to see what children of God behave like, allowed them to experience the Word made flesh and dwelling among them. And they said that although they had no intention of making this church their home, if that's the way the people of this church behaved, they wanted to be part of it. Not only did they become members of this church, they become very involved leaders in this church, allowing God's light to shine through them into the darkness of the worlds of others, allowing others to see what a child of God, one who believes in the name of Jesus, how they live life out, allowing them to see what God's word made flesh looks like. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I do know that God's word made flesh has taken different expressions and different forms throughout the years for me, where God's presence with me has become oh so evident. One of those times was way back when, before I'd received a call to become a pastor, but before I really started, I was just a baby pastor at the time. It happened so long ago, I got to tell you, it happened so long ago that, it was well over 40 years ago it happened, and I didn't know what it meant to be a pastor. I really didn't. I was about to receive some on-the-job training. And that began for me when, after I had endured and survived seminary, Greek and Hebrew and all the rest, systematic theology and all that went with it, I'd endured and graduated and was ready for my first call. I was called, little backstory I got to let you know. I thought I was really open to the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I told the bishops, the way they did it was kind of a draft back then, kind of like a baseball draft. They'd pick the candidates. And I said, I'm willing to go wherever the Holy Spirit calls me, as long as it's Minnesota. So they sent me to Ohio. Now, I don't have anything against Ohio. I just didn't know very much about it at the time, and it was a long ways away from my family, which kind of bothered me a little bit. But we went off to Hawaii, Ohio, and Hawaii, that's wishful thinking, isn't it? We got there and was interviewed, accepted a call at a church, and then I experienced, right after graduation from seminary, and before I'd started my call, I experienced some symptoms in my body that were just exactly like the symptoms my dad had had just before he was diagnosed with cancer. So I went to the doctor, and it was determined that, yes, I had a tumor that needed to be removed, and yes, they were pretty sure it was cancer. And so I had that surgery, and as I was recovering from that, I made a call to the church that had called me to be their pastor, and I said, hey, look, in fairness to you, you need to know, I did not know, you did not know, that I was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor before you called me. In fairness to you, if you want to retract your call, I get it. I understand. I'm damaged goods, and you don't deserve that. You called me believing that my body was whole. I'm damaged goods. So if you want to retract it, that's okay. They said, well, we'll get back to you on that. They had a congregational meeting, and they spent a lot of time in prayer. And then at the end of that congregational meeting, they voted. And they voted unanimously to have me come. They extended God's grace to me. I, the called pastor, was the one who was supposed to be extending grace to them. And before I even got there, they extended God's grace, God's light in the darkness that was surrounding my world. They showed me what children of God who believed in Jesus Christ, they showed me what it looked like to live that out in their everyday lives. They showed me and allowed me to experience what the Word made flesh would look like in a congregation that believed in God's grace. Over the next few weeks, Shay and I received cards and letters from people we didn't even know. And each and every time we did, it felt like God's light shining in our darkness from children of God who understood what it meant to be the people of God, the body of Christ, and allow us to experience God's Word made flesh. So what does it look like for you? Has God shown His light into that darkness that you may have been enduring? Or has God allowed you to be that person that shines God's light into the darkness of someone else? Has God allowed you to not only be a child of God, but to demonstrate to someone else living in darkness what a child of God lives life like? Has God showed you in such a way what the Word made flesh looks like, that you have been that person for someone else who needed to experience God's Word made flesh? I hope that this season, that will be among the gifts with which God blesses you. What does it look like in your life? I don't know how many of you have participated in gifts from the heart, and I'm not going to make you raise your hand. If you feel better and you want to raise it a little bit, that's okay. But I just want to thank all of you that have participated in gifts from the heart, because I got to tell you, for those precious children that are going to receive gifts through Operation Christmas Child, through Angel Tree, for the elderly residents that are going to receive gifts because of Shining Star, for the people in great need that are going to receive a cane because of a disability or physical challenge, for the people in a faraway place called Pine Ridge, adults and children alike who are going to receive gifts, for all those people who received Bibles who are in prison, I want to thank you because of your generosity, because you are being the light of Christ for people you may never, ever meet. But you're demonstrating through those actions what being a child of God looks like. You're helping someone who lives in darkness see what it looks like to experience God's Word made flesh. So thank you for all of that. I don't know how many of you know about our OWLS ministry here at Good Shepherd. OWLS stands for Older, Wiser, Lutheran Servants. And they are precious. They are great people, great leaders, many of them very involved in our worship experiences, many of them involved in our fellowship experiences, many of them involved in learning opportunities, mission ministry, involved in a whole lot of ways. And one of the expressions of OWLS was to care for those whom we don't regularly see here at worship, namely people who are homebound, people who are in care institutions or care centers. And so they came up with birthday bags. Birthday bags would be filled with wonderful gifts, not expensive, but wonderful gifts that were meaningful to those people. Gifts that would touch their hearts. Gifts that would indicate some kind of interest that that person had. And so they would find out about the people and learn about their interests. And excuse me for a second. And as they did so, they would pack that birthday bag. And one of the gifts that they received was also delivering those birthday bags. And I say received because not only did they shine light in the darkness of people who were otherwise kind of lonely, but they received incredible gifts back. Now many of those people help some of those individuals with rides to the doctor and have even, because they discovered just how lonely some of those individuals are, take them to the zoo and out for lunch and all kinds of different things, and they've become so relational. In fact, one of the leaders told me, she said, "I thought my heart was really full, but through the birthday bag ministry, God has grown my heart, expanded my heart to a capacity I never realized I had. These relationships mean so much. I've learned so much. I've been blessed so much." And she said that when I knew the backstory, having heard from those individuals how much it meant to them. I know that you, many of you, are involved in ministries that go beyond what I'm going to share in this message today, that shine God's light into the worlds of others that are dark. I know that many of you are living out what it looks like to be a child of God through that ministry in which you are so involved. I know that many of you, because you've experienced God's presence, God's incarnation, God dwelling with you and in you, can't help but share that with others. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all those many ways in which you live that out, that truth, having been the recipients of God's grace, now living it out in ways that make a difference, a transformational difference in the lives of others. In just a couple of months, in fact, less than 2 months, we're going to be going to Feed the Need over at North Central College. Last year, some 1,200 people from Good Shepherd went. Amazing. Amazing response. Because not only did you go to pack some meals, and Good Shepherd was the leader of our community, letting light shine in the darkness of our community and in our world. Thank you so much. That was a record-setting pace of people. And what makes it so significant is that those are meals that go not just to hungry children, they go to children who are starving, who don't make it to their next birthday, even as we prepare to celebrate Christ's birthday. They don't make it to that next birthday without those meals. So thank you so much. Feed the Need is coming. I know you guys like to plan ahead. And so I want to get it on your calendars. President's Day weekend, February 15th, 16th. It's a great opportunity to be the light of Jesus in the darkness of somebody's world, to embody what it looks like to be a child of God, and to help others see what God's Word made flesh looks like. Now, as I've said before, I respect you so much, and I know that you are so important and you do so many important things that if you're doing something else more important than shining the light of Christ and helping to feed a starving child, If it's more important, then go for it. Really, seriously, do it. I want to hear it and see it and learn all about it. But if not, wouldn't it be something if instead of 1,200, we had 2,000 people from Good Shepherd? Wouldn't that be so awesome? So that Good Shepherd can continue to be that light that shines in the darkness because of God's grace. A Good Shepherd can continue to be that witness in our community that helps other people see what children of God look like, that help people this time of year and always learn what it means to have the Word made flesh and dwell among and in us. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for coming to our world, for helping to us experience what the Father's love begotten looks like. Let us this season and always shine the light that you have shown into our lives. Let us this season and always be the children of God you desire and create us to be. Let us this season and always live our lives in such a way that others can see the Word made flesh and dwelling among and in us. Amen.
So